Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Ed, how can folks join us on what you affectionately call that there internet?
Well, you have a couple of options.
Three
options if you want to watch the live video stream for this program. You can go to Facebook. You can go to YouTube and search for Today's Issues on YouTube. I think you search for Today's Issues Live. Or you can go to our own streaming platform, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net, and you can watch the live video stream of this program. We also encourage people, if you're going to be traveling, for example, and you normally listen to AFR on a terrestrial radio station, you can download the app for your phone. And in fact, that's what I did when I was coming back with my wife from Nashville. I was able to listen to Trivia Friday
on my
AFR
app.
AFR app Bluetoothed it right to my radio.
So. Really, an AFR app is extraterrestrial. Am I right?
I see where you're going with it. Maybe not technically, but I see where you're going with that.
Right. So phone home is what I would say. Anybody listening right now? All right. So, yeah, the American Family Radio app has been a game changer for us. Because we probably have as many or more people now listening to us on our app, which you can take anywhere, listen anywhere, as long as you have high-speed internet, the AFR app, as we do on our radio stations.
Right.
You know,
my understanding is
towers.
Even Vladimir Putin listens to AFR on the AFR app, although we do not provide any Russian disinformation at any time. Except maybe that one thing I just said.
Okay. Where'd you get that one from? Did you just pull that
one? This is what my wife tells me.
Right.
Think before you speak, Ed. and I don't, and that's when you get comments like that.
And you say to her, why? Why, honey? It hasn't hurt me. It hasn't hurt me so far.
It hurt me at all.
You know why we don't have those two churches, Ed? You know why you never got invited back? I'm here to tell you.
Oh, boy, you had to go there, didn't you? That cut me, bro.
Sorry about that. All right. Just kidding there.
I know.
Kidding.
That's the way I took it.
All right. So, Steve, I see you going through your stack.
Yeah, just kind of organizing things. I got a lot of stuff to choose from, and I'm.
Well, thanks for waiting till you got here in the studio to organize your thoughts.
Sometimes it takes a while.
Yeah.
My thoughts are a little confused.
See how I'm getting the spotlight
off
me,
of you. Put it on.
I'm putting it on Steve.
Go ahead, Steve. What do you got? What's your first story?
All right, let's talk about the Congress and how they open their meetings. Every morning, Congress opens its meetings with prayer. The Speaker of the House is the one who gets to choose who opens the House with prayer. Now, there are some rules and regulations that they want to impose on the House on the prayer that whoever delivers it delivers. Jack Hibbs, the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, was having none of it. You're not going to tell me how to pray. So I want to pray. I want to. 20 Democrats have come out with a letter complaining about this prayer and about Jack Hibbs in general being asked to do the prayer. And maybe I see if you're a God-hating person, I can see why they might be upset with this prayer. Listen to Cut 9.
Almighty God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, together we come before you in humility as a people in need of your forgiveness, your mercy, your goodness, and your grace. For these 250 so years, our fathers in this Congress have prayed for your guidance and protection. So please come upon those here who are the stewards over the business of our nation with your wisdom, which comes from above, and with your holy fear, knowing that your coming day of judgment draws near, when all who have been and are now in authority will answer to you, the great judge of heaven, and of earth for the decisions that they make here in this place. I offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Son, your Son, and our crucified Savior and resurrected Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. That was, listen, that was awesome. Pastor Hibbs is one gutsy individual. He was, that was an awesome prayer, by the way, the kind of prayer Christian pastors should pray. But he managed not only to declare Jesus Christ Lord and Savior, Son of God, crucified, raised from the dead. He also tied Christianity back to our founders, he said, for 250 years. He also managed to let all those in the House chamber understand that they will answer to God. I mean, it was a perfect prayer, and I can see why there are people who are gnashing their teeth at that.
They're saying it's a Christian nationalist prayer from a Christian nationalist pastor. We've heard this term bantered about a lot lately.
Right.
It's a made-up term that the Democrats and the left has been using to try to discredit anybody who has a Christian faith, and especially those who have a Christian faith and want to be active in politics. But they don't really. Sometimes they go get out a little bit over their skis where they try to figure out what they mean themselves. I want you to hear Heidi Prisbola is a MSNBC anchor. No, I'm sorry, reporter. And she was on one of their shows.
Heidi is?
Heidi. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yes, she is.
Yeah. It's been a while.
And she was defining Christian nationalism for the panel and for the listeners of MSNBC, Cut 11.
The thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalist is very different, mm-hmm. is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God. The problem with that is that they are determining men are determining what God is telling them. Now you have an extremist element of conservative Christians who say that this applies specifically to issues including abortion, gay marriage, and it's going much further than that, as you see, for instance, with the ruling in Alabama.
Right.
This week, that judge is connected to that Dominionist faction in talking about a lot of other issues, including surrogacy, IVF, sex education in schools.
Was that Heidi Prisbola
is Prisbola, how you pronounce okay. it. It's Polish. You spell it with no vowels.
Right, what's she trying to warn about there?
She's saying that Christian nationalists believe that their rights come from God, not the government. The left believes that the government will tell you what you can believe. They give and take away rights. Hence the fact that they've taken away the indisputable human right of abortion, they say.
She's blatantly, factually wrong. Okay. About, she says white, she called them Christian nationalists?
Christian nationalists.
Christian nationalists don't believe that we, I guess she's talking about people like us, let's be honest here.
Sure, right.
She's talking about us.
Right.
Okay. Very hurtful.
And it was hurtful.
Yeah, hurtful. And she's talking about us, and she's saying that people like us believe we get our rights from God, not from man. And that's scary, she's saying, right?
Right.
Have I boiled it down?
Yeah. Yes. Right. And that Christians believe that God has something to say about abortion,
okay.
marriage, and such.
But we're getting our
orders?
March from the original documents of our founding of our country, namely the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution.
I would say that I agree with that. Our rights do come from God, but it was reiterated in our Declaration of Independence, which calls them inalienable rights.
That's what I'm saying.
Given by the Creator.
So does she ever answer that? Because that's what she's accusing
of
people like us of believing in, the words of the Constitution.
She defended, she says that, like, for example, Martin Luther King would talk about natural law and all that kind of stuff. So in her voice, as long as it's her thoughts, as long as it's a liberal cause or something that she can go with, she's
right.
okay with saying it's It's not a government. You can't, you shouldn't be able to take away a right that we think is should be a right. But she's completely ignoring the fact that God,
what they're trying to do by they, I mean the liberal news media in this country, they're trying to scare the mess out of the general public about people like us. That we're going to, Jack Hibbs, we're going to, our desire is secretly and sometimes openly to impose a theocracy on America. That is to say, Tim Wildman, Ed Battagliano, and Brother Steve there, we would like to see forced baptisms of every American citizen. And until we get that, you know what I'm saying? And forced church attendance.
Right.
Until we get that, our goal is not going to be finished, right? That's what we're about.
That's why she mentioned dominionists, because those who hold, those members of the Christian faith, especially in this country, who, and there are some, who believe that our government should be influenced by the law of Moses, for example, and you should stone homosexuals. And
does that mean shrimps out? Because I got to draw the line right there, my friend.
That's a good point. I don't know. I'm not a dominionist. I just want to let folks know. But she mentioned dominionist because she is accusing now Christian nationalists, to Steve's point, a made up term, of wanting to determine what those natural rights are, and instituting. rule by priest.
In some way, this is a little bit simpler than that in my mind as well. They make up the term Christian nationalists, and they make up a definition for what Christian nationalism is. And it becomes this amorphous term that you use that's just bad. It's like calling someone a fascist.
It used to be called religious right, though.
Well, it's like calling somebody a fascist. The left wants to call everybody a fascist, but I think if you ask them to define the term, they wouldn't know the first start of how to define what fascism is as it was always been defined and as it was in World War II. They don't know. It's just a bad name. It's like calling you racist. It's like calling you fascist. They take these names, they apply the worst characteristics to them, and then they, by association, lump whoever they don't like in with it.
So right.
Don't talk about the details.
Nazis. They call us Nazis.
So when she said that, I'm not talking about Christians,
right,
I'm talking about Christian nationalists, what she means by that is Christians who are good people are liberal. Christians who are not good people, who are conservative in their political views, those are Christian nationalists.
Those are the ones we need to be worried about.
And we have to be worried about them because they're coming to take away all of our rights.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. So what was her name there?
Prisbola. Heidi Prisbola.
Okay,
yeah, just a lot. It's a lot of Y's and R's and P's.
Well, I don't know what I don't know what to say anymore then, because I am a Christian and I am a nationalist.
In other words, you love your country.
That's what I mean by that.
Yep.
I just wouldn't accept their definition. I don't care what you think of what I am. You make up the word Christian nationalism. If you apply it to me, I don't really care what you think about me.
Sign me up.
Obvious from the shirt you're wearing.
You can't say it's true or not true when it's an opinion that they're giving. An opinion isn't true or not true. An opinion is what they think.
Subjective.
And it's a subjective definition that they've made up. And so if we start arguing on the basis of, well, I'm not that. I'm not racist. I'm not the other. You're just playing into their game.
And what they're going to say, this has been going on for years. What the left-wing media wants to say is that we, people like us, want to impose our religion on everybody. And that's not true, but that's how you scare people. You scare a lot of people who are in the middle of the general public, I'm talking about, by saying these people are Nazis. They're fascists. They're wanting to impose their religion on everybody. Okay, that's what they're going to say.
Yeah. So you want to impose your religion on people, and instead of that, I want to impose my atheism. They don't ever say
right.
that.
Right. Now, I want to say, give me an example of what you're talking about, because they rarely give examples of what they're talking about. If you want to say, well, it's a right to life issue, I'm not. That's not an imposition of religion.
Right.
The fact that human life begins at conception is a biological fact. Then we can just discuss, well, when is it appropriate for the law to protect human life? 6 weeks? 12 weeks? Let's talk about that. Let's discuss that.
I think they
that.
Should be honest. I think they should say, if you're a Christian, you're not allowed to vote. Because your faith informs your way of looking at the world. Your way of looking at the world informs your vote. Therefore, to avoid you imposing your religion through the ballot box, you're not allowed to vote.
They would do that tomorrow if they could get away with it.
I believe they would. Absolutely. I believe this woman.
Our belief system to them disqualifies us from participating
yes.
in society.
Right.
And especially voting.
They just don't want to say that out loud.
Right. But that's what they, that's why they, if you have a position that agrees with the Bible on homosexuality, for example, that is in their view, by definition, hate.
Yep. And if you vote that way, you're trying to impose your views on others.
So you should be disqualified.
Yes.
From society, basically.
Right.
Huh?
I think when you interact with a person like that, you can't take Steve's point of view and say, I don't care what you think. Or you could just take their views and make clear what they're really saying. So I would just say to her, so you don't think Christians should vote?
Right.
Oh, no, I think they should vote. Oh, so you think they should vote, but they can't use their faith to inform their vote. And if they do, you don't think they should vote because they're imposing their views.
It's easy because they haven't thought through it.
Right. Again, I'm sure she wasn't challenged on this.
No.
Yeah. All right, next story.
All right, we've just found out today that President Biden is going to be making a trip to the border. He will be heading...
Taco Bell? I just came up with that. High five, Ian. Yeah,
yes, sir.
How about that?
Sometimes you should say what you're thinking without thinking about it.
I should. Okay.
Funny.
I don't think they got a soft serve there at Taco Bell. Better go down to Chick-fil-A and get some good ice cream.
But don't go to McDonald's because their machine's broken.
High five, Ian.
Yeah, high five. We're killing
All right.
it.
I'm you want to stay with today. Us, Steve, or you want us to keep going?
That's fine. You're doing great.
Okay.
No, it's not a trip to Taco Bell unless there's a Taco Bell in Brownsville, and then maybe he will be going there because he's heading to Brownsville, Texas.
Texas, okay.
On Thursday, he's going to visit with Border Patrol there.
Right.
By the way, guess who else is in Texas, is at the border on Thursday? Donald Trump will be in Eagle Pass. Same day. So...
How far are those from apart from each
about
other?
About 380 miles.
Oh, okay.
I find it interesting that that all of a sudden the Democrats and Joe Biden are extremely interested in the border. I've got to go to the border. He called for this surge and hasn't cared a thing about it until, I don't know, the election starts heating up. And people start caring about it. And so, he's got to do something. So.
I think that's stupid. I think that is a stupid move by the Biden team, whoever made that decision. You've ignored it all this time. Just keep ignoring it. There's no reason to go down and bring attention to your failure.
Right.
Because everybody knows it's an utter abject failure of Biden on the border. So why go down there and say, hey, everybody look at my failure. I want to emphasize that going into an election season.
Well, I tell you this is what I think is going to happen. And Steve, you might have some insight on this as well. Whoever he's going to speak with, they're all going to be handpicked and they're all going to say, we need the Republicans to give us the money to control this border.
Okay. They're going to try to make the Republicans look bad.
Yeah.
With a PR stunt.
Yes, that's
okay,
what I
got
think.
You.
Yeah, that's been his message about the border. I can't do anything with that without Congress.
Right.
Ignoring that he did a whole lot on his first day in office to take away what was a very secure border. So he will be in Brownsville, Texas. Now, when he's speaking, I would suggest to him, if he's listening, Mr. President, if you're listening, don't try to quote Lincoln. He was at an event at the White House the other day, and he was standing in front of a portrait of Lincoln. He was talking with some supporters. And I want you to hear what he had to say. This is Cut 13.
And you know, stand here in front of this portrait, the man behind me here. He said, and I want to make sure I get the quote exactly right. He said, the better angel, he said, we must address the counsel and address the better angels of our nature. And we do well to remember what else he said. He said, we're not enemies, but we're friends. It's the middle, it's in the part of the Civil War.
He was reading. When he said, we want to get this quote right, he took a piece of paper out and held it in front of his nose.
So he was reading that off?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's the expression? It is what it is. I think with Biden, everybody knows he's challenged right now, huh?
Well, the better angels of our nature, he might want to go to some of these inner cities and start talking to the criminal element there that are ratcheting up the violence and encourage them to appeal to the better angels of their nature.
Yeah, I might disagree with Lincoln a little bit here. Maybe we have angels and the Holy Spirit that helps us overcome our nature.
Right.
Which is prone to sin, prone to wander.
Right.
I feel it. So I don't know that there's a better angels of our nature. Our nature, according to the Bible and according to everything we've ever seen in history, is quite evil.
Well, and especially if you decouple that nature from the power of the Holy Spirit to convert the heart and to rein in those passions through a walk with Christ.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
But that was par for the course for our sitting president in terms of his inability to really to communicate in a coherent fashion.
Yeah.
So
all right, to end, why don't we take a look at the these are the leading headlines. This is what's happening at this moment as brought to us by our favorite satire site.
Babylon Bee.
Police Department, NYPD, has a dance team?
Yes. The only reason I know that, Steve, is because in one of our story meetings, you showed me the video, and now I can't unsee it.
I know, right? Well, according to the Babylon Bee, they've challenged the gangs in New York to a dance-off to see who controls the city.
Oh, my goodness.
Who's challenged them?
The New York Police Department, NYPD.
Dance team.
I know they've got a dance team. I saw the video. Who's challenged them?
No, they've challenged.
They've challenged the gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York.
To a dance-off.
You know, when I know I'm starting to get in preach mode a little bit, but when you turn your back on God and when you turn your back and reject Jesus Christ, this is the kind of moronic suggestions that you are left with. We'll have a dance-off.
With gangs?
With gangs. And if
Bloods and the Crips come in?
And if we...
Gonna face off against the NYPD?
The Bloods
in a dance-off?
And the Crips.
Have I gone full 80s on you?
Right?
You're still fucking Bloods and Crips. Now, they probably exist.
Crossing the switchblade? How far back do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Al Capone?
Yeah.
All right. Steve, it's just been a half hour of edification,
I tell you,
and encouragement that,
and comedy. Comedy gold.
Thank you, Steve.
Sure, you're welcome.
Thanks to Ed, Brent Creeley, our producer, Fred Jackson, Rob West. Wise.
He's
money
wise.
Yeah. Time for this show to end, people. We'll see you tomorrow.